Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFURL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Moscow correspondent Matthew Luxmoor. Now, the last time Matthew was my guest was, I think, 3 weeks ago, and we spoke about the coronavirus situation, which had been worsening over the previous weeks with a surge of cases identified as the Delta variant, and Russia really struggling to get people vaccinated. And today I want to take stock again, get an update on the situation, which continues to look quite bad. Daily case numbers have been rising sharply since the beginning of June. In the past few days, I haven't checked today, but the past few days that number was above 25,000, which is the highest since a surge in December when it reached almost 30,000. And I'm also wondering whether there's been much progress with vaccinations. Sputnik V was the vaccine approved, the first vaccine approved by any government for use. And that was the main one that was being used in Russia for months. But lately, I've been hearing more about Covivac, which I think was the third vaccine to be approved by the Russian government. Matthew, can you give us an update on the situation, please? Like, how are things looking from where you are?
Sure. Hi, Steve. Yeah, I think, unfortunately, the situation hasn't changed much since we last spoke. We're still kind of in the midst of the peak of what most people describe as the third wave, with the daily case load still ticking up in Russia. So on Saturday, actually, the country recorded a grim new record in deaths, confirming 760 in a single day, with the actual number possibly much higher, considering all the evidence we've seen of the figures being massaged by some officials since the pandemic started. You know, against this backdrop, obviously, the vaccine question is the big one. Russia's new rules, or at least the rules in many Russian regions on mandatory vaccination for some parts of the population, has been in place for the last couple of weeks. And the most kind of noticeable effect is it's emptied out many of the country's restaurants and food courts. Diners are now, at least in Moscow, required to produce a QR code on their smartphones, attesting to vaccination with a Russian vaccine if they want to sit inside restaurants. And Russia's low rates of vaccination obviously mean that restaurants have had to contend with a pretty drastically reduced footfall. Luckily, the weather in Moscow, has been good, so the verandas have been packed so far, at least until August 1st, which is the latest information we've had. You don't need one of these QR codes to sit outside restaurants. But, you know, generally there continues to be a lot of anger over this from what I've seen. That said, I mean, returning to the question of, the actual vaccination rates. There are clear signs that these mandates have had an effect, or perhaps it's the release of these two new vaccines that you mentioned. So vaccination rates have started ticking up. As you mentioned, Steve, the mass distribution of Russia's third vaccine, Covivac, has led to, at least according to folks published online, pretty long lines at some vaccination spots. There were people keen to take a shot that many of them think, at least based on kind of media reporting on this reporting by some of my colleagues, is kind of the mildest of the three approved Russian shots. And I haven't really seen any clear evidence for this, but that seems to be kind of the common theory, at least. So Epivac Corona, which is the other of the three vaccines alongside Sputnik V, is also enjoying apparently more popularity than Sputnik. Some analysis I've seen, suggests that, it's this, the intense propaganda campaign that surrounded the approval of Sputnik V, ahead of late-stage trials in last August, that has put many people off taking that shot, despite the fact, kind of most ironically, that it's the only Russian shot that's been vetted by the international scientific community. So in any case, I mean, this is a positive development if, vaccination rates are ticking up, as the evidence suggests, even if the total percentage remains far lower than that in some in some countries, including the US and the UK. But again, with the weather this good, it may ultimately be, the threat of banning visitors from, beaches and the resorts of, places like Sochi in Russia's south, which now says it will require tourists to be vaccinated at least 3 days before arrival, that might, ultimately spur the vaccination drive more than anything else. I mean, based on personal experience at least, Moscow is just too hot a place to be in for long these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you mentioned that people without a QR code for the vaccine can go to restaurant verandas outdoors, but not indoors. I guess as the weather, the Russian summers end quite abruptly sometimes. That'll I guess affect things. And another thing that is happening, towards the end of the summer are the state Duma elections. Now, these were recently officially set, I think, by Putin's decree for September 17th to 19th, a 3-day election, which is, I believe, is the latest they can be held by law. Now, these are elections to the state Duma, the lower house of parliament, kind of the biggest elections in Russia. And they're also going to be electing some governors and local and regional officials. But I see that over the weekend, the top election official apparently found it necessary to actually deny a report or reports that the elections might be postponed due to COVID-19 and the situation that is developing. Matthew, I guess a broad question would be, does it look like the coronavirus situation will have a significant effect on the vote? Now it's just over 2 months away.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it does seem like a pretty inopportune time to be waging a massive election campaign. But I think, initially, I mean, it's worth noting that Russia, the Russian government, has hardly shied from staging big political events since the pandemic began. Right. The plebiscite on constitutional changes, which were mainly aimed at allowing Putin to seek two more terms as president after his current term expires in 2024, was initially postponed by around 3 months last year, I think from April to July. But it went ahead ultimately, in the height of summer, at a time when Russia's caseload still remained high, despite, these bombastic statements by officials that the virus had been defeated. And then the same was the case for the delayed celebration of 75 years since the Soviet victory of invading Nazi forces in World War II. The so-called Victory Day celebrations on May 9th. Right. There was a huge amount of criticism of the decisions to go ahead with both those events at the time. So I don't think the authorities are kind of strangers to backlash,
right,
over, calls to go ahead with such events. So these elections, plebiscites and public spectacles, again, I think it's worth kind of remembering that these are key parts of the Kremlin's political calendar, and also a key aspect of the ways in which Putin's system kind of refreshes its legitimacy on a regular basis in the eyes of the population. So they're planned months and often even years in advance, and the authorities are definitely loath to put them off. In the case of the World War II parade and this constitutional vote last year, I think the situation was so serious at the time, when Russia was really in the midst of its serious first wave, and also the pandemic was still something that was pretty new and unknown.
Right.
That it would have been politically very dangerous, I think, for Putin to authorize its going ahead at the time. But I think summing up, there's clearly been a decision that the current wave, despite featuring daily caseloads that are far in excess of last summer's, at least doesn't warrant the same caution, or at least doesn't justify the postponement of a big election. I won't be speculating on the reasons for that, other than I guess to note that most experts say these sweeping recent this crackdown that we've had, the political crackdown on opponents of the governments throughout Russia, especially since protests that erupted in late January and early February, and then one more protest in April. There's been kind of aimless silencing or intimidating opponents of the ruling party, the unpopular currently ruling party, United Russia. Experts say that that's kind of evidence that, that perhaps there was a campaign to pave the way for the elections and for United Russia to have an easier run at, retaining its majority in parliament. So if that's true, and again, that's one opinion, then I guess postponing the election would presumably mean prolonging this atmosphere of essentially a political system under siege, which, at least I hope, is something no one wants.
Right. I mean, I think you're right. I would guess that, partly because the elections they're kind of set in stone in terms of when they can be held. So to postpone these would be, I guess, a bigger deal than postponing that the nationwide vote on the constitutional changes. So I think barring a serious worsening of the COVID situation, I think they'll go ahead with it. And, as you say, there's opinions that certainly in part this crackdown has been geared toward the election. So I do think they kind of want to get it over with. And a very good point you mentioned, that the vote, it's called elections and people vote, but it is, I would say, first and foremost, kind of one of the kind of set piece events that the Kremlin uses to kind of remain in power and seek to revive or restore it, keep its legitimacy at least with the Russian people going. I think they'll go ahead with this, and certainly no sign at this point of any breather in the crackdown. Okay, well, we're short of time. I've been speaking for a while. Let's wrap it up here. Matthew, thanks very much for joining me.
Sure, no problem, Steve. Thank you.
All right, I'll be back next Monday for another look at the week ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out for my Week in Russia newsletter on Friday. Thanks for listening.